The kids are growing tomato plants. They got the little seedlings in the cup and they've sprouted up. It's a symbol that that time of year is getting there. And I was looking at them this morning and I was reminded of a story that I recently read about a father who grew tomatoes in a large garden with the help of his son. But unfortunately, his son had got himself into some trouble and gotten locked up. And the time for planting season and plowing was coming. And the father wrote a letter to the son in the jailhouse. And he said, "I truly miss you, especially when it comes time to turn that dirt over. I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm so old and I'm so weak. I don't know what I'm going to do without you." And the son wrote him a letter back. He said, "Father, don't touch the garden plot. That's where I buried all the money and the map to the rest of it." And the very next day, the FBI and the state police and the county sheriff showed up and they went out in that backyard, in that garden plot, and they commenced to dig in for 7 hours. And finally one said, "Ain't nothing here." And they left. Next day, the father received a letter from his son. "Well, Pop, that's the best I can do until I get out. Love you." Oh, boy, I tell you. It's almost that time for planting season. Let us join our hearts together and give with Christian love and charity as the ushers come forward. I know I wasn't here last week. Good morning!
Good morning.
Now, let me explain to you how it works. I had to go to a Quakers meeting last week, and I had to be quiet, and I'm full of words, and I'm going to be talking a lot today. So, good morning!
Good morning.
There, now at least I feel like I ain't being so quiet. And I'm glad to be back home. Amen. I missed you all. I missed everything. I missed the singing. And look, it's raining. And it's not a heavy rain. It's not a downpour. It is the kind we need, slow and soaking. So come on and bring it on for the next 3 days, I would think. That'll help our well out. Blessings everywhere. Yes, went to a Quaker meeting. If you want to learn about it, see me after church. It was an interesting experience. Some of you have already heard, but I was blessed to be there and thankful to know that I had a family waiting for me back home. And we're glad to be here this morning. Others, joys or concerns on your heart this morning? If there are none others, let us just join our hearts together. And as you come forward after we've bowed down and there's something on your heart not spoken, just that hand up and down so that you can be extra. Thank you. Covered. Thank you. Let us join our hearts. Father, they say that prayer anymore is just a word. Oh, I pray for that new job, or I prayed this and I prayed for that. It's become a word that has been used so much and taken so far forward into the mainstream that it has lost its countenance. We pray unto you, not for anything. You are our Father. You are the reason we're here. We saw it even in the gift of the shoeboxes. We give back to you the thanks and the blessings come out stronger. We cannot outgive you. And so let us just at this moment be humbled by you in our lives. That we seek to find you in everything we do and in every move we make. That we seek you out constantly, earnestly, prayerfully. We lift up our church. We're mindful of those who work in the community where they go rushing into a building that's on fire and other people are running out. Cover them. And those that have lost. We're thankful for new life finally getting traction. Getting out from underneath the weight of the medicine and getting going. We're thankful of a giving spirit, of a heart when we say, hey, so and so needs help, Father, you've put it in us. Love thy neighbor. This is what my son said, do it, and we do. Be mindful of this nation, the unrest that goes on everywhere. And thank you, Father, for what happened in New Zealand. They feared so many would have been lost in the collapse of the cathedral, and there was none. Bind us together that we may know you. Let us be mindful of those who are not with us today. I'm thankful of those who have come back for whatever reason has kept them away. They've never left our thoughts. And for the food thy hands have prepared. As we share today in fellowship and in spirit, as we come together today to laugh and to love and to be within these four walls, let us exude from that. Let us take from that and go out and say, Father, make me a blessing. Let somebody look at me and go, what in the world is going on? I want to know. I want to know Christ. Help us, Father. Let us be ever mindful of your Son. And His gift. Join our hearts. Let us pray. The way Jesus taught us, let it give each word be sounded out. Let it not be murmured from behind a pew as though here we go again. Let us remember that this prayer is the simple, direct prayer that Jesus gave that would guide us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture lesson today is Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 24. Jesus' teaching. His explanations. His parables. But this time it is outright straightforward. Here's what is. A story we've heard a dozen times, and yet it still brings back to us the message that Christ had, that we are dependent on Him. Verse 16. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life? Why do you ask me about what is good? Jesus replied. There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments. Which one? The man asked. Jesus replied, Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. And love your neighbor as yourself. All these I have kept, the young man said. What do I still lack? Jesus answered, If you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went away sad, because he had great wealth. Then Jesus said to the disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Let us pause for a moment. Let God add His blessings to these words. Let us put our hearts together in tune for His message. Let us pray. Father, open us up. and prepare us. Wipe away the dust and dirt from this week. Wash us out to hear your message, that we may go from here in thought, in strength, in contemplation, in earnest desire to seek you out through the Scripture and through what you have spoken to us in this message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Saturday, I had to drive down to Washington, D.C. Might as well say it. I pulled up in front of the church that I was going to in the morning, and there was a sign as I turned in the driveway, Washington, D.C., 2 miles. And the temptation was pretty great. I had signed up to go to class for church, but the temptation was pretty great. National Air and Space Museum was just over the hill. Washington Monument, I could see it. I thought, man, I'll just keep driving. I'll go on into D.C., I'll have a good time. Eat a hot dog. Come home and go, man, that meeting was boring. Of course, I didn't do it. Because I know what would have happened. Somehow, some way, she'd have found out. I can't hide anything from her. And believe me, I try. But I was driving down 270, and I spent a fair amount of my life on that highway for years. I lived part of my life down in Damascus. And then when I got out of high school and went to work in construction, it was always in Gaithersburg and Rockville. I drove a dump truck, drove up and down that highway, saw that road change from what it is now, or what it was then, to what it is now. The addition of lanes, watched buildings being built that are standing down there, but I passed by one that I haven't been seen in a long time. I haven't been down there in several years. Probably quite a few more than that. And there's a building as you go down 270. And if you've never been, well, I'm going to describe it. There is a building on the left-hand side that's all off to itself. And there's acres of grass and ground around it and trees. And it's set back in and it's covered in. But it looks like space age. It's all white and glass and gleaming. And when I was a boy, that building was called ComSat. I got to go there once or twice. And they had a little room as you come up to ComSat, a little circular room, and they had a satellite in there, the model of the first satellite they ever built. And they had a big sign down by 270 that glowed blue in the night. ComSat. Home of satellites. And I forget how many millions it cost to build that place. And it's huge if you've ever been in it. They have full-blown laboratories in there and large rooms for building satellites, and a lot of secret stuff went on. And I was always fascinated with that building. When I was a boy, that was the biggest building on 270 next to Fairchild Industries, where they build airplanes. Fairchild was huge. They had their own fire company in there. I was driving down 270. I was like, all right, here comes ComSat. It's gone. There's a big empty building there with a sign that says for lease, can subdivide, can tear down the building. Empty. Well, whatever. Time, technology, time moves on. I pass by Fairchild. It's empty. Big sign out front, for lease. I saw buildings that I personally helped build that were huge and the thing, and I'm not that old. I'm 43, right? 43. I keep thinking I'm 42. And I was 18, 19, 20 years old. And buildings that I saw built are standing empty. Empty. These big, colossal structures that were going to be the next firmament to mankind, the next thing that would come down the line, all these big, wonderful structures, and they poured money into them. And if you've ever been inside some of them, at that time, they were the talk. They were everything empty. And it broke my heart. And I drove on down toward D.C. and got into Virginia and saw more buildings that I was familiar with, that I had hauled stone to, that I had hauled block to, that I had been there empty. And right across the street, they're building new buildings. I guess just so that they can stand empty in 20 years. Friends, the things we build, the blood and sweat, the mortar and steel that we put together, don't last. What we build in here from Christ is what stays forever. I couldn't help thinking that. I couldn't help seeing that. And years ago, I'd have seen that and went, dang on it. And all I could think about was, oh my goodness, I was once an empty building. I was big and fancy. And I'm fancy, even though my wife won't tell you so. I have the latest in technology with me at all times. I have a carbon fiber pocket knife. That's fancy, right? I am the latest in technology. I'm a big empty building, or empty head, as I'm told. And I thought, okay, well, that was neat. Go down there, see that. I got your message. I understand what you're going to. And then I went to the Quaker meeting. And I don't understand what I was supposed to know. I sat in a room with people for 60 minutes. 60 minutes I sat quietly because I was told to wait on the Lord. That's okay. I like that sound. Empty. I walked out of that building that day feeling empty. Feeling empty inside. And it seems that that has become the theme this week. Not so much that I am empty as that I get that feeling when I look around the world and see where it stands. We're looking at the rich young ruler. It's so important that two other Gospels talked about it. And how many people just immediately know the story? The camel through the eye of the needle. But you don't know the rest of it. That a rich young ruler wanted to enter the gates of heaven. And God said, Jesus said, put it down over here, get rid of it, and follow me. And he couldn't do it. Do you know how much the world looks at us through the eyes of that rich young ruler? Nod your head if you've ever heard this statement. Christians, man, they're boring. Well, until they meet me. And then the statement's amended to go, Christians, they ought to be locked up. Christians, that's a dull life. Christians, you don't have no fun. You don't drink, you don't smoke, you don't carry on. I said the same things. We're seen as boring because we're seen as not being able to have fun by what the world denotes as fun. Oh, let's go out and get hammered on Friday night. Wake up the next morning and not be able to get your eyes to focus. Oh, that's fun. Let's run down to the store. There's a thing called an Apple iPad. And unless you're a technology guy, it's not going to mean a lot to you. But I've been listening to this radio program, and that's all they talked about. And they just introduced this thing, a year ago? And already they've introduced the second one that's supposed to be better than the first one. A year later. Oh, that's fun. Let's run down and spend thousands of dollars on that. Because you know as soon as they bring out the next one, within a month they're going to bring out the next one. We're seen as being boring and dull through the eyes of the world that look at us much like that rich young ruler looked at Christ. What do you mean give up everything? What do you mean sell it all? What do you mean I have tons of money? I can have anything I want. Why can't I have my way into heaven and still have this? It's what stopped me from being a Christian for many years. And I mean a Christian in the sense of you can call yourself Christian. To me, I'm going to ask you, are you saved? If you ain't answering that question, you ain't caught the ride yet. Christians are saved because they have accepted Jesus Christ. Amen? That's when you're Christian. Oh, I believe in God. I believe in Christ. Why don't you go to church? No, I don't need that. Well, what's the Bible say about believing in all that? Well, I'm going to heaven. I'm a good person. That was me. I didn't want to be a Christian. Oh my golly, what a dull, boring life that has got to be. Walking around singing hymns all day and saying amen and brother praise you and all this, that, and the other. I ain't going to be part of that. Whoops. I want us to take another look at these verses that are so often identified as being against money. And the truth of it is, Christ wanted you to be filled up. He didn't want you to not be alive and not live life. He didn't want you to not know it. He wanted you to be filled up, and that's what he says to him. Let me ask you a question. Where do you get a greater joy out of? Receiving something or giving something? Giving. Oh, I love getting, but I love giving. I love seeing that. Hey, man, you know, my car won't start or something like that. Or, hey, Paul, man, I rush right over there and the car starts. I gave him that. Woohoo! Amen. Giving. There's a song by the Gaithers. I think it's by the Gaithers. It's called Give It Away. Anybody know that song? If you want less lonely and a lot more fun, with deep satisfaction when the day is done, take whatever you have and give it away. Right? I love that song. Sometime I'll learn it and sing it. I promise. Well, probably not. I'm not singing anymore because I keep messing them up. All right, I will. But it's giving. I look at these large buildings what they went through to build them. And I remember, and there they stand empty. And then I take a record of the people around me as I sat unloading my truck on Wednesday morning, and a boy that couldn't have been no more than 21 literally had me ready to ball up a fist and knock all the teeth out of his head. And I'm sorry to say that, but if I'd have heard him take the Lord's name in vain one more time, I'd have forgotten that the book said turn the other cheek, and I'd have turned his. And finally I spun around on a chair and I said, I'm a preacher. And he went oop, and walked out of the building. Chuck Swindoll told a great story about that. He said this old preacher that he knew sat in a chair at the barber shop getting his hair cut, and the barber did not know that he was a great preacher. And as the barber was cutting his hair, he was flying around him, cutting his hair and swearing and carrying on and talking degrading about everything. And the people in the barber shop knew who was in the chair. And they didn't say anything. And his barber kept on going. Finally, that old preacher had enough of it. Grabbed the barber by the coat, pulled him down close, pointed at his ear and says, does that look like a septic tank to you? I don't want that garbage going in there. And let go of it. The world is empty inside. Because the value they place is not value. And I'm guilty of it. I make a lot of jokes about it, and the truth of the matter is, I love my tractors. I do. It's not for the reason that I always yelp and mouth off about. It's for the simple fact that I love working on them. It's something I can do. It's something I enjoy. Yes, I love buying tractors. They're not so important anymore. This is. Even if I had the money, this is. Ain't that music? Well, whatever. Just turn her upside down, shake her. It'll straighten out. We are empty inside if, like the rich young ruler, we take a look at what we have and decide, I can't live without it. And that's what he said. Jesus answered, if you want to be perfect, go. Sell your possessions. Give to the poor, and then you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the rich young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Can you imagine? I told this story at the prayer meeting on Wednesday night. And if you were there, well, you missed it, but I'm going to tell it again. There's a fellow by the name of Stuart Hamblin. And he was a singer, comedian, songwriter, radio host back in the 40s and 50s, and he was kind of funny, and he wrote a song called, I won't go hunting with you, Jake, but I will go chasing women. That's a true story. Don't look at me like that. This preacher come into town to enter up a revival. And Stuart Hamblin wanted to get him on the radio show so he could make fun of that preacher. And then he went to the revival. Stuart went to the revival to hear some stuff so he could have more to go home and make fun of it. Young preacher stood up that morning, that evening at the tent, and said, "There's someone among you, one man, who is a big fake." Could have just as well said, "Who is completely empty inside." A lot of people probably thought that that preacher was talking to them. But this one man in particular really got convicted by those words. And he went on his way and he couldn't stop until finally a day or so later at 2 o'clock in the morning, liquored up, he was on the door of the preacher. The young preacher opened the door up at the hotel room and said, "What?" He said, "I want you to pray for me right now." And the preacher said, "That's between you and God. I'm not getting in the middle of it. But come on in here, I'll talk to you." And talk they did until at 5, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, whatever it was, Stuart Hamblin fell forward and gave his life to Christ and walked away from the world into the Christ. Now, when you do something like that and you're a Hollywood power player, consequences are coming. Suddenly he fell out of favor and there wasn't songs to write and there wasn't comedy to do, and he tried to write some Christian songs and they didn't work out so well, but he did write one song for Rosemary Clooney called "This Old House." Remember that song? But it just didn't work. Till finally a friend of his, John, said to him, "Look, man, is it really worth all this? Is it really worth what you've given up just to follow Christ?" And Stuart said, "Yes." He said, "Wouldn't you go back if you could?" Stuart said, "No." He said, "I can do all things with God who helps me." And John said, "Oh, hey, that's catchy. You should write a song about it." And he did. What's the name of the song, Linda?
"It Is No Secret."
What?
"It Is No Secret."
That's right. "It Is No Secret," written by Carl Stuart Hamblin. "It Is No Secret What God Can Do." Big hit! Carl Stuart Hamblin. Empty inside, filled up. Gave it all up and followed him. Oh, by the way, backstory, you know I've got it. Anybody know that his friend John's name was John Wayne? Oh, and the preacher, young preacher just getting started in tent revivals, was Billy Graham. Empty inside, no more. I had, in my time, worked on houses, and we'd go in and do these renovation projects. And when you walked into a house that nobody lived in for a while, it's got a cold feeling to it. It's nothing. It's empty. It's just nothing there. No sounds, no life, no nothing. That's the same way we were. Empty inside, cold, empty, shell, that's all. And Jesus saw that. Let's continue on. When the disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and asked, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus just told them it would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, when I get to heaven, first thing I want to see done is, hey, can you make that happen? I just want to see it. Shrink one down and shoot him through. It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter heaven. And the disciples are wound up and they're, well, we're not rich. What do we do? How? Who? What? Who then can be saved? And Jesus looked at them. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Read that last part of that verse with me. But with God, all things are possible. Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" And Jesus said to them, and this is, I tell you the truth, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man sits on his glorious throne, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Amen. But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. It broke my heart that day to hear that young man carrying on like that. It ain't no fun living that way, is it? If you lived in that lifestyle, did you have a lot of fun really when you was living that way? No. That's our job. Great commission. Go out and make disciples. Go out and share the life. Thank you for the song. Make me a blessing. I never talked to her about my sermon topics. She talked about giving. I'm talked about filling up. You can give out. My father said when I decided I was going to become a preacher, he said, make sure you fill up so you can pour out. And as you well know, I'm full of it. I mean, that didn't come out right, did it? Empty inside. We don't need to be. Christ gave it to us. He talked to us. Matthew wrote this down in his gospel. Mark wrote it down. Luke wrote it down. What we have is not worth keeping if it takes us away from Christ. What we have is not worth anything because we'll wind up big and beautiful and empty inside. Just like those buildings that I saw. Just like those people that I knew. I always liked a little story I read about a man carrying two buckets. He carried them on a stick on his shoulder and one had a hole in it. And he always carried the bucket with the hole on the right side as he was walking from the well back to the house. And that bucket with the hole in it always leaked along its way. And the man always fussed about it and forgot to fix it until one day as he was walking to the well with the buckets to fill them up, he happened to notice along the pathway the bucket that had been leaking had been watering the ground and flowers were starting to spring up. When you're full, when you're not empty inside, and you put it out there, when you say, Lord, make me a blessing, imagine the blessing you can become. I challenge you this week. Martha. Be a blessing this week to somebody. Seek out somebody that you know. Call them up and just say this to them. I'm praying for you. You don't have to launch them into a long conversation. Be they Christian, be they not. Become that blessing. Take them away from being empty inside, that they may be built for that kingdom in heaven. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and all things in it. Thank you for bringing us here. But more importantly, thank you for the words within the Bible, with the scriptures, with the teachings, with the words of your Son, with what He taught us, with what He showed us. Unfortunately, sometimes it was with pain so that we can enjoy the blessing later on. But because we accept Him, we'll not be empty inside. We'll not be a building set off to the side, cold and alone. Let us be lifted up. Let us know you. Let us be ever mindful of Jesus Christ. Let us never fail to once say these words. Jesus Christ died on a cross to save you and me. The greatest thing we can do is to witness our testimony to anyone and everyone, so that they may too be filled. Bless us, Father. Guide us, direct us, correct us where need be, where we failed you, where we will fail you, but turn not from us. Through Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I got fussed at by my wife this morning. I know that's hard to believe. This was my sermon notes for today. Probably 40 words. Because at one point, it wasn't coming together anymore, and I stopped and I prayed. I said, I am done writing. You just start putting it in when I get up there, and we'll see what happens. And when she pulled my paper out of the printer, she goes, that's it? All I needed. That's prayer. That's here. That's the altar call. If it's in your heart that you need that prayer, come up while we sing this last hymn and have me to pray with you or anybody. But the power of prayer is real and filling. It'll stop you from being empty inside.
Please stand and turn to page 596.
Inside that you can give away. That empty feeling goes away. That you be lifted up. I pray this now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore.